Pollock flips it back. Carson, a deep three straight away. Money. Put it in the bank. Carson Cox from way downtown. Another area code. Knocks down the triple.
One of 11 three-pointers made by the Beloit boys last night. Six different players contributing to hit 11 threes. That's called balance. That's pretty amazing. Carson Cox with one of his three threes last night. Beloit blowing out Republic County by a final of 58-22, running clock in the fourth quarter. Hudson Smith led the way with 13 for Beloit. The Beloit boys are now 13-1. They won six in a row and are still undefeated in league play at 7-0. Other boys games from last night. Russell wins at Ellsworth 60-53. Sacred Heart, no problem at Southeast Lane, 76-42. Chase boys fall at Lincoln, 33-32. Lincoln wins that one. Osborne stays undefeated. They knock off Wilson, 71-45. Concordia all over Pike Valley, 76-34. Seven Lucas doubles up Rock Hills, 54-27. St. John's Tipton wins over Thunder Ridge, 62-41. Brady Pollen with a career high, 27 to lead the way there. Struck off 14 for Thunder Ridge. And Dameron, 16 for the Blue Jays. Clifton Clyde boys, they win over Southern Cloud last night, 48-40. On the girls' side, the Beloit Lady Trojans winning to improve the 9-5 overall and 5-2 in league play. Jumped out to an early 18-6 lead and never looked back. Won by 18. Shea Larson leading away with 17. Sydney Barrett with 16. Toby Wilbur had 12 for Republic County. Russell girls win at Ellsworth, 52-41. Southeastland girls win over Sacred Heart, 70-65, which means Russell 6-1 in league play. Beloit in second at 5-2, a game back. And Southeast Sacred Heart now both with records of they're in third place with 4-3 league marks. Lincoln girls win over Chase, 33-30. Walter leading away with 14 in that one. Conway with 13 as Osborne beats Wilson, 47-35. Concordia girls knocks off Pike Valley, 58-35. Seven Lucas defeats Rock Hills, 40-13. Thunder Ridge girls win in overtime over St. John's Tipton, 38-32. Kirkhoff with 18 to lead the way in that one. Southern Cloud edges Clifton Cloud, and girls play last night, 49-47. We'll have high school basketball locker room chats tonight, beginning at about 5:15. We'll talk to the girls and boys basketball coaches of Beloit, Osborne, Smith, Center, Lincoln, and Thunder Ridge. And tomorrow night, St. John's Tipton, Lakeside, Rock Hills, and Sylvan Lucas. If you miss our Tuesday wrestling locker room chats, they are posted in our podcast center, kdcountry94.com. Osborne senior Cade Miller signed his letter of intent to play football at the collegiate level at Bethel College in North Newton. And a full story about that is available at ncksports.com. The latest KBCA rankings are out for basketball. And Osborne ninth in 1A on the boys' side. Beloit fourth in 3A. And Phillipsburg 6th in 3A. The Kansas Wrestling Coaches Association rankings are out as well. And Colby, number one team in the state in 3A. Smith Center is ranked 10th. Minneapolis ranked 9th. Plainville 5th. Norton's 3rd. Eureka is 2nd, by the way. And looking at those from the area that are ranked, Colton Shoemaker, junior from Smith Center at 113 pounds, is ranked 2nd. And scrolling through here, Jaden Atwood, junior of Smith Center, number one rated wrestler at 138 pounds. Zane Colson of Rock Hills wrestles with Beloit, 152 pounds. He's the number one wrestler in the state right now, according to the rankings. And I'm seeing if there's anybody else here to mention for the rankings. And I don't see any others unless I overlooked one or two. So those are all posted for your convenience. Go to ncksports.com. Well, last night, not a good night for the Kansas Jayhawks.
Diedrich leans in on a three, misses wide right. Rebound Hayes, victory to Texas.
KU simply couldn't get going offensively last night. Here's Bill Self after the game talking about one player in particular for Texas.
I thought Osakowski, he was good early, but, I mean, he was really good tonight. I mean, he took shots that were there, but I thought he rebounded, and I thought he played to his size, especially when we went small.
Kansas, this is a unique Kansas team because previous Kansas teams during this streak of 14 straight Big 12 championships found ways to win on the road. And if Kansas is going to continue this where they can't win on the road, then you would have to imagine their streak will end at 14 and they will not win their 15th consecutive Big 12 title. Having said that, we still aren't to the halfway point of the Big 12 conference season. Kansas is 5-3. Baylor and K-State now atop the Big 12 at 5-2. There are a lot of concerns for Kansas. If you're a Jayhawk fan, you have to be concerned more so than probably you ever have during this stretch. I mean, there was the stretch where Tyshawn Taylor, Thomas Robinson, when they made all the way to the national championship game, where they struggled earlier in the year and lost three straight in Big 12 play. That was a tough spot, and Kansas bounced back from that. So they haven't lost three in a row in the Big 12, and if they did now, they'd be in big-time trouble. But I think the disconcerting thing for Kansas fans is pretty simple. They're not winning on the road. Kansas is 1-5 in six true road games. 1-5. That one win over Baylor, which was a good win. But last night they go to Texas, a place where Radford, VCU, Providence, and Texas Tech all had won. And Kansas led for a total of 9 seconds last night. Texas led virtually the entire game, controlled the pace of play, and beat Kansas last night 73-63. And after the loss, Dedrick Dawson, KU's best player, junior forward, was asked about the road woes. And he said, well, when we walked in the locker room, LeGerald, that'd be Vic, said, we suck on the road. We've got to do something different. I agree. We definitely have to do something different. We have to find ways to win on the road. I don't know. Change our shoes. We got to try to do something different. Texas finally knocks off Kansas. They lost 10 in a row to the Jayhawks. They led for 37 minutes and 42 seconds of the game. It's a 40-minute game. KU led for just 9 seconds, as I mentioned. Asked after the loss where this one got away from them, Bill Self smirked and said, where'd it get away? I don't know. Probably, well, what time did we fly down? I don't know that we were ever good tonight by any stretch. Now, the one bright spot for Kansas was Ochai Agbaji, the freshman who had the red shirt pulled earlier in January. He started last night for the first time. He had 24 points, 7 rebounds. He played well, but other than that, nobody else played well for Kansas. Texas coach Shaka Smart finally beats Bill Self as a coach of Texas, because he did beat Bill Self in Kansas Elite Eight when he was with VCU. And Coach Smart said after the game that close loss by Texas and Lawrence fueled his team to be ready to go after losing by just 2 against KU in Lawrence at the Fog, and had a 3-point shot to win it. And then Texas was good from the foul line. They were 21 of 23, normally not a good foul-shooting team. And if you're wondering about Agbaji starting in place of, you'd think, Grimes, no, he started in place of LeGerald Vick. So your senior was pulled from the starting lineup last night. And that's not necessarily a good sign either, as the Jayhawks are now 16-5. They lost 2 in a row. They lost to Kentucky. They lost to Texas. And they're 5-3 in the Big 12. And taking a closer look at the box score last night, Kansas shoots just 43%. Marcus Garrett just 1 of 4. Quentin Grimes 1 of 5. Dedrick Lawson 4 of 15. And then you look at the bench. What's Kansas getting from the bench right now? Well, LeGerald Vick put in 10 because he came off the bench last night in 23 minutes. But Charlie Moore only played 6 minutes, did not score. KJ Lawson, 4 minutes, did not score. David McCormick, 9 minutes, just 2 points. Mitch Lightfoot, 14 minutes, didn't have a single rebound. That's disconcerting, no question. No doubt about it. So Kansas falls last night, 6 of 18 from 3, just 33%. That's still a big thorn in their side. Kansas did have the advantage points in the paint, 30-16, but they lose at Texas last night, 73-63. So you take a look at the Big 12 standings. K-State and Baylor, 5-2. Texas Tech, KU at 5-3. Iowa State, 4-3. Texas, 4-4. TCU not out of it. They are 3-4. Then Oklahoma, 3-5. Oklahoma State, 2-5. West Virginia, 1-6. We've been saying this for quite some time, for at least a couple of weeks, that Kansas with Udoka out, they don't have, Bill Self doesn't have anybody on his team that he can trust to put into the game off the bench. He can put Lightfoot in for some minutes. McCormick, he's not comfortable with as a freshman in these big-time games in the Big 12, especially in hostile environments. He might not be quite ready for prime time. DeSosa has not been cleared by the NCAA, and I wouldn't count on that at all. And we said that way back in August, which I'm still amazed that KU thinks he's going to be cleared to play. I mean, for crying out loud, a kid that took $500 in benefits for Miami has been really ineligible for this year. So what do you think is going to happen to Sosa, whose guardian took, what, $20,000? And that's not DeSosa's fault. But I don't think you can count DeSosa to come back and save the day. And McCormick's not ready. Self doesn't trust him. Lightfoot is a serviceable player. But ideally, he would be redshirting this year because they thought they're going to have Udoka healthy.
Yeah.
And they thought they were going to have DeSosa perhaps eligible, which, by the way, he's technically not ineligible right now. It's KU's holding him out until the NCAA makes a decision. Of course, the NCAA drags their feet. And it's like, you know what? Just make a decision. If you're going to say he can't play, fine. And Kansas can move on. So can DeSosa. It's just unfair to the kid. It's a joke. The NCAA is a joke. And I can go on about how big of a joke the institution is. They don't give a crap about kids. Don't even give me that. They don't.
No.
If they did, they'd come up with a decision so this kid could move on with his life. Whether it decide to go pro, go overseas, or know that, hey, okay, I can play. They've really messed all that up. And you can say, well, that's DeSosa's fault. No, it's not his fault. It's his guardian's fault. It's the shoe company's fault. You want to blame Kansas? Whatever you want to do. I just don't think DeSosa is the one to blame in this situation. He's the one that takes all the punishment. Bill Self's not being suspended or not allowed to coach. If you think Bill Self and the coaching staff at Kansas, Curtis Towns, are involved with all that, well, then why are they still allowed to coach?
Yeah.
It's a double-edged sword. It's a double standard. But DeSosa's not going to come back and save the day. And then he doesn't trust Charlie Moore, who they got as a transfer, an experienced point guard. I don't think he plays good enough defense. He played 6 minutes last night. K.J. Lawson only played 4 minutes. Bill Self trusts Ochai Agbaji more than anybody on the team other than Dotson and Dedrick Lawson.
Yeah.
And he benched LeGerald Vick last night. And Vick came off the bench and played 23 minutes, and that's your one senior on the team. We've been saying it for a couple weeks. This Kansas team is the most vulnerable of all the teams during this 15-year stretch. They're trying to win their 15th straight Big 12 title. They don't shoot the ball well from three. They don't have, I think, great leadership on the team because if Vic's your one senior, I'm not saying all leadership has to come from seniors, but this is Dedrick Lawson's first year playing. I don't think you automatically make him the leader. Devin Dotson, a freshman, probably capable of being a leader, but you usually don't get that from a freshman, nor do you really expect it. And Vic, of course, is not a leader, I don't think. So you have problems. Kansas has problems. So the question then is, will Kansas's streak end? Is this the beginning of the end for the streak? It doesn't mean that Kansas won't make the NCAA tournament. They will. Kansas may very well finish second or third in the Big 12. They may finish in a three- or four-way tie. And I saw Clover responding to what I posted on social media last night saying Kansas will still win because other teams will lose. He goes, somebody will lose five or six games in the league. Well, KU has three losses, and they've only played eight games. So Kansas could easily be one of those teams that loses five or six. This would be so apropos for the way this streak would continue, is that you'd have a three- or four-way tie at 12-6. That's the number I'm looking at right now. Kansas tying with K-State and Baylor and Texas Tech. Those are the four. Mm-hmm. Maybe Iowa State. You'd have a four-way tie, and KU keeps the streak alive. Four out of the 10 teams tie, so 40% of the league ties for the Big 12 title. And Kansas can say they won their 15th straight Big 12 championship, which would be accurate. Because it doesn't have to be outright. They can share it. They shared it before.
Not all these have been out.
No,
right?
They haven't.
So far, so.
They've shared it before, which is fine. That's still winning a conference championship. So I gave you the reasons why KU streak is going to end. They struggle on the road, 1-5 in true road games. They don't shoot the three well. Bill Self doesn't have anybody off the bench he really trusts. Now that Vic is on the bench. many reasons. They only have one low post threat, and that's Lawson. Teams can sag and play off the shooters on the three-point line. Lack of leadership. Got freshmen in the backcourt. Agbaji, Grimes, and Dotson. That means you started three freshmen last night at Texas. And I wouldn't say any of them are superstars. Are going to be a first-round draft pick in the NBA. Many people thought Grimes would be. And now he's probably going to be at KU for 2 or 3 years, possibly. So I gave you the reasons why KU streak will end. But there are certainly arguments to say not so fast. We still have 10 more Big 12 games to play. Kansas is still Kansas from the standpoint that until they're absolutely knocked out and on the canvas and the referee comes in and stops the fight, they're still alive. So why will the streak not end, Dusty? I'm going to give you that half of the equation. I gave you the equation of why KU's Big 12 streak will come to an end. Why will it not? How will Kansas win an outright or share of their 15th straight Big 12 championship. You give me that side of the coin.
Well, I think one of the things you said there is they're still Kansas until they're knocked out. And down, the guy comes in, calls the fight, right? Mm-hmm. That's the key for me, is somebody's got to knock them out. They've got to – I put that on Twitter last night, and some people might not have understood what I meant. I said, you know, KU's just not the same road team this year, but will anybody take advantage of that? And
Texas did last night.
Took that to mean that at their home court, will they take advantage of it and beat KU when they're at home?
Sure.
What I mean by that is, will somebody not lose at home to K-State after you beat KU at home? Mm-hmm. Iowa State, I'm talking to you.
Right.
You know, that's what I'm talking about. Are these other teams going to go and win those road games that KU usually wins? That's, for me, I think, is the biggest thing that you need to do to knock Kansas out. And that's why I'm not sold on all that, because I don't think there's a team in this league that can just say, hey, we're going to go win all these road games that KU normally wins. And you can't – KU's still only half a game out of first right now. Everything you just said about them playing – 8 games, they've already got 3 conference losses. They're still only a half game out of first right now. Okay, so I need more than that, obviously, for me to say that the streak's going to come to an end, because I think Kansas is going to get better. I think they'll improve. I think, you know, they're still learning a little bit how to play without those post players, and I think Bill Self has the ability to kind of turn things around and teach them the ways that they need to go about fixing some of those problems. And that's what concerns me, is they're playing so bad right now on the road. And, you know, they've had some close home games too, but they're winning all of them. And that's what they do at Allen Fieldhouse. And for me, if you're going to do it, you've got to do it right now. You've got to knock them out. And I just don't see anybody doing that right now. And I think that's the reason KU's going to stick in it. And they're going to make those necessary improvements as the season goes on. And they're going to realize, hey, we're still Kansas. As long as people keep letting them stay in this race here, and I think that they're going to gain some confidence from that if other teams aren't going to go ahead and bury them.
Here's another reason why Kansas will win a 15 straight Big 12 championship. Somebody needs to go into Lawrence and win.
Exactly.
I mean, if just one team, like Texas Tech last year, as long as just one team goes into Allen Fieldhouse and steals one, and you mentioned KU's played some close games at home in conference play,
yeah.
Oklahoma, Texas, and others. If just one team goes into Lawrence and wins, that might be completely the difference in the streak ending or not being extended, because KU's problems on the road. The fact they're struggling on the road so much means that Kansas can't afford to lose at home.
Yeah.
Okay, and you look at Kansas' schedule. Before we write them off for dead, which I know some people immediately are all excited, okay, Kansas' streak's going to end. And I think there's many reasons to think that it will. But there are certainly plenty of reasons to think it will still, they will extend it to 15 in a row, even if it's a share of the league title. Okay, here's their upcoming games. Home against Texas Tech. They have to win that game against Texas Tech at home. And do you think they're going to lose Texas Tech at home 2 straight years? I would highly doubt it.
I don't.
So I think most people will pick KU to win that game. Okay, let's say that KU does lose at K-State. I'm not saying they will, but let's say they do. Which, that's going to be a more hostile environment than anything else they played on the road except Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Kansas loses at K-State. So they are 6-4. Is it the end of the world? No. Oklahoma State at home, that should be a win. 7-4. TCU's got all kinds of injuries. Jalen Fisher out for the year. They don't have much offensively. KU is good defensively. That road game at TCU doesn't look super tough, but then again, Kansas does struggle on the road. But I think you would say they'd win that one. So Kansas would be what, 8-4?
Yeah.
Okay. Home against West Virginia. Do you think they're going to lose West Virginia twice this year?
No.
And at home? No. 9-4. Okay, they go to Texas Tech. Okay, they lose. And by the way, it's not impossible to win at Texas Tech. All right?
No, it's not.
So they could win that, but let's say 9-5. K-State at home, they're going to win that. I think you assume they're going to win that after losing at K-State in my scenario. They're 10-5. At Oklahoma State is not good. And if Kansas can't win Oklahoma State this year, they don't deserve to win the Big 12.
Yeah.
So you figure that's a win, 11-5. At Oklahoma, that's probably a win. Oklahoma has no home court advantage.
No.
12-5. And then you host Baylor, and Baylor has – I don't think Baylor's ever beaten KU at Allen Fieldhouse. That'd be 13-5, right?
Yeah.
Am I right with my math?
Yeah.
And even if they would trip up and lose at Oklahoma or – at Oklahoma State or
TCU,
they'd still be 12-6, and that might still be good enough.
Do we think Kansas is going to be good enough to at least
get a
die
share
for it?
So do you think Kansas is going to be worse than 12-6? And I think we'd all say no, because they're going to win those home games and get at least a couple more road wins. So if they go 9-0 at home, and all they got to do is go 3-6 on the road, and they've got one road win. So basically, we're saying win out and win two games on the road, and you pick the two you're going to win on the road. At K-State, at TCU, at Texas Tech, at Oklahoma State, at Oklahoma. Can you tell me there's not two road wins out of those five?
Oh,
absolutely,
sure
there are.
Yeah,
I would say Oklahoma State and TCU and probably Oklahoma as well. So not so fast. I mean, Kansas can go 12-6 and still win this league or get a share of the title. And, you know, K-State could also go 12-6. But I'll tell you this, if KU beats Texas Tech at home this weekend and they go into Manhattan and beat K-State, you know what everybody's going to say after that game? Still Kansas's conference to win, which I still think it's their conference to win. But they certainly have some flaws that you have not seen in a long time. They got multiple flaws. Like that team that made it to the championship game back in 2012, you know, they struggled offensively, and that was the year I think they lost at TCU, and Bill Self said, you know, YMCA team, you know, could have beat us tonight.
Topeka Y.
And they lost three straight games in the Big 12, and everybody was writing them off, and then they rallied the wagon and the ship, and they got it done. They turned it around. But that team was really good defensively, and they didn't have probably as many flaws as I see with this team. That team had leadership. This team doesn't. That team had Tyshawn Taylor and Thomas Robinson. This and Jeff Withey. They had a big guy inside, a shot blocker. Kansas doesn't have a shot blocker. They don't have a rim protector. They don't have a guy that plays above the rim. Lawson plays below the rim, and he's a really good player. Don't get me wrong, but he's not explosive. And they're so young. They're starting three freshmen, and then they don't trust a freshman off the bench to be your next big, and he should be the next big off the bench with Udoka hurt, and Lightfoot should be just a guy that fills in here and there. Kansas, supposedly with a super great deep team, all they lost was one player who was hurt. That's Udoka, which is a big deal. Don't get me wrong, but all those other guys are still eligible to play. I mean, DeSosa hasn't played all year, so that you can't count that. They got Charlie Moore. They got Gerald Vick now off the bench. They got David McCormick. And these guys hardly playing. KJ Lawson played 4 minutes last night. I mean, what's supposed to be a great advantage for Kansas, their depth, and, hey, guys aren't getting it done, we're just going to throw somebody else out there, compared to last year, hasn't materialized.
Yeah. But that's the thing. Is like
not good offensively,
They're not. But you went through all that stuff, that schedule there, and it's just like, I can't find a spot here where I guarantee and say that, KU's not going to win this thing this year. You know, it's just, you can't do it. I mean, if you logically look
at that. You'd be a fool to say Kansas right now, there's no way they're going to win the Big 12.
Yeah, that's
what
I'm saying.
If you say, hey, I think it's a 50-50 chance it ends this year, that would be realistic.
Yeah.
But to come out and just say, well, that's it. KU's done. They're 5-3. They've already lost three games in conference because there's no dominant team in this conference. If Kansas was in the ACC with Duke and North Carolina, I would say right now the streak is over.
Yeah. It's like, how many of these schools in the Big 12 wish this was KU last year or something like Devon Carter at West Virginia?
Yes.
You know, if this was KU last year, they wouldn't have won the Big 12. Mm-hmm. If they play like the way they are right now last year, it would have been easy to say, even at this point of the season, to say, and I don't think it's going to happen this year. I think either West Virginia or Texas Tech probably going to get them, and maybe even somebody else at that point. You're thinking at this point of the season, if we just move this back to last year. But that's the thing, is the Big 12 is not top heavy like it was last year. Those teams aren't as good as they were last year. Texas Tech's good, but man, they lost a lot of great talent from that team.
Yeah, they did.
Obviously, you take away the 40-year-old point guard from West Virginia. Now, that's obviously,
he looked older than me.
Yeah, I know. You take Devon Cutter out of the mix there, and you've lost your. You talk about leadership.
And then Kanade's out for the whole year for West
Virginia. You talk about leadership that KU doesn't have this year. West Virginia just lost that with just losing one guy.
Right.
I mean, it was just like you can't afford to lose a guy like that, and they're seeing that in their record, although they have one conference win at home against Kansas. But listen, KU's not going to go 1-8 in the Big 12 on the road. I mean, it's not going to happen.
No.
I mean, you can dream it and think it is, but it's not. So what we're talking about is they're a half a game out of first right now.
Right. Still
with
10
three
more
losses
to play.
Through eight and 10 more games to play. Exactly. Yeah. And it's just like,
and have one of the best coaches in America.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's
and
like
still
nobody,
good talent.
Somebody's got to put them on the deck and keep them down there because they've got Bill Self. He'll figure this thing out. I know he will.
Right.
And whether that means figure it out to to go on a really long win streak here and finish 14-4 in the conference, or just to finish 12-6, which we both, I think, agree is good enough to at least tie for the for the conference title.
There's so many things to decipher and dissect with what you just said there, and I totally agree with you, is that, you know, you look back to last year, there were people riding off Kansas. They struggled early in the year, and they figured it out. And we joked that this would be the year where Kansas, people don't think much of them, they're going to go and make the Final Four. And then they did.
Yeah.
They made the Final Four. Now, I don't really feel that way about this year's team at all.
No.
But I do. I will say that this team might get further in the tournament than people expect them to. I think right now, if you looked at Kansas, you'd say, okay, if they can get the Sweet 16, that's great. Uh-huh. This team might, you know, this team gets it figured out, turns it around. You know, got a great Hall of Fame coach, and you do have talent to work with. You know, this team, if they get the right matchups, could certainly make it the Elite Eight. And who knows? Maybe they still could make it to the Final Four. But the Big 12, and we go through this song and dance every year, and I hear from Fran Franchella, and I hear from a whole bunch of people, and I get it. Fran covers the Big 12, and I think he's one of the best analysts in college basketball on TV. I totally get it. But, you know, he and others feed us this line, just like the SEC in football feeds us this line all the time about how they're the greatest conference that's ever been made, and this is such a great conference. And people that follow the conference all the time, guys that follow the ACC, the Big Ten, the Pac-12, they all think, since they see all that action all the time, that this is a really good conference. Listen, last year the Big 12 was not a – I didn't think it was a great conference at all. Kansas was down and still won the Big 12. Texas Tech was an improved team. Kansas State made a run the Elite Eight, but they were a bubble team until about a week till the Big 12 tournament. Actually, they kind of needed to win the Big 12 tournament to make sure they were in and to play, avoid the play-in game in Dayton. And so, and I've said this for a long time, and KU fans get rubbed the wrong way when I say this. This is not a knock on Kansas when I say it. But when Kansas has won the league 14 years in a row, whether they've shared it or won it outright, that's an indictment on the league. You can talk about how great that is for Kansas, and it is. It's great for Kansas. It's amazing because you would think somewhere in those 14 years, Kansas would have a major injury. They would have a big-time losing streak. They maybe would fall apart, choke a game at home, or lose a game on the road they shouldn't, and somehow, some way, they would not win a Big 12 title in those 14 years. That's amazing consistency. So I think it is a fantastic achievement. But during those 14 years, how many Big 12 programs have gone to the Final Four? And the answer, two, Kansas and Oklahoma.
Yep.
Nobody else has made it to the Final Four
and
during
Oklahoma
that stretch.
Did not fare well when they
when
made
Oklahoma
it.
made it, they lost by 50 to Villanova. So that it's an indictment of the conference. So when I hear Fran Franchella and others say the Big 12, well, they're just the Big 12 is just so good from top to bottom. No. I don't agree with that. The Big 12 is full of a lot of decent teams. Nobody great, and maybe nobody even that really good. I mean, right now, if you look, K-State is at the top of the conference, and we talk about how bad they are offensively.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a leader of the Big 12 right now.
Yeah.
And then Baylor leads this conference, and they lost. They were down like by 30 to Wichita State earlier this year. Wichita State's 8-11. They lost to Wichita State. Now, I know it was early in the year. Baylor's gotten better. But Baylor got off to a rough start in conference. And KU went to Baylor and handled Baylor. That was the one great road game KU played, and they were up 20-2 to start that game. So I'm not so anybody going to buy Baylor? Probably not, even though they're 5-2, although somebody's got to win this conference. And what happens every year? Well, somebody's got to win the conference. Yeah, Kansas. It's always Kansas.
Yeah.
Always Kansas. And as you said, so many teams get an opportunity, get a big win, turn around, lay an egg. We've seen it with Texas Tech, Iowa State. Baylor's done it. K-State's done it over the years. TCU's done it. West Virginia certainly did it last year. That's another team that had a shot at the Big 12 title and then let it slip through their fingers with some bad losses. But the Big 12 is not very good. So when you sit here and you go, well, Kansas isn't, they're not going to win the Big 12. Okay, that leads me to the question. If they're not going to win the Big 12, which is a fair argument right now based on how they're playing, then who?
Exactly.
I mean, who are you going to put your money on to win the Big 12 other than Kansas? I mean, who are you going to pick? Are you going to put it on K-State? Dusty, if you had a $100 bill.
Go ahead and pass K-State.
Oh, right, okay. Well,
we can talk about it.
Play with me here. So play along. So, Dusty, I'm going to give you a $100 bill. Actually, I'm not, but let's just say I do. Okay. Well, I can hand it to you. I don't have one, actually. I gotta get a loan from Highland. Don will give me a $1,000 bill. No, he won't. He doesn't give people dollar bills, for crying out loud, Mr. Thrifty Frugal Guy. But here's my point. I'm going to ask you this. I'm going to give you $100, hypothetically, and you have to bet that $100 on a team not named Kansas to win the Big 12 right now. Okay? I'll allow you to think about that for a second.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to go down the line in order of the standings right now. And you can just simply say yes or no, and I may ask you why or why not. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay, you have a $100 bill. It's burning in your pocket. You have to bet on somebody other than Kansas to win the Big 12 right now. You got to place your bet in Vegas right now. Are you?
When this is all done, do I have to do it?
Well, we can play along. We can see how it goes. You have to pick, and I'm going to reiterate, you have to pick a team other than Kansas.
I have to pick at least one.
You have to pick one of the other nine outside of Kansas.
Okay.
K-State, top of the standings at 5-2, so is Baylor. Are you putting your $100 on K-State to win the Big 12, Dusty?
No.
Okay, K-State's out. So not K-State. Purple vision glasses, Dusty says not K-State.
At some point, you got to play offense to,
I'm with you.
To win a conference.
All right.
Consistently.
All right. I'm with you. I don't see K-State winning either, but they are 5-2. Nobody thought they'd be 5-2 after 0-2 start either, so you never know. Baylor, are you going to put $100 on Baylor to win the Big 12?
No.
All right, so the top two teams in the Big 12 right now, ahead of Kansas, and Dusty says, nope, not betting on either one of them. All right, Texas Tech. You going to put a $100 bill on Texas Tech to win the Big 12?
because
this is a fun game.
Here's the thing, as I know what's coming up.
Yeah.
And you told me I have to pick one.
Yeah. I would tell you I would not pick Texas Tech.
It's the same as K-State. For me,
they struggle.
You play
offense. They have one good offensive player.
So I got to say no on them.
Okay. You could always change your mind.
I probably will have to come back to somebody.
You got to pick somebody here. It's the rules of this game show. All right. So Texas Tech 5-3, then Kansas 5-3. Iowa State 4-3. You put $100 on Iowa State to win the Big 12?
No.
No? Okay.
All right. It might be the one I come back to.
Okay, so now we're moving down to Texas. Texas 4-4 in the Big 12. They're only a game and a half out. They've beaten K-State in Manhattan. They have beaten Kansas at home. They're done with Kansas. But they did lose to Texas Tech at home. Texas, $100 bet on them to win the Big 12?
Not right now.
No? Okay.
No.
TCU's 3-4, all kinds of injuries. You betting $100 on TCU to make Big 12?
No.
Oklahoma?
No.
Oklahoma State?
No.
West Virginia?
No.
All right. So he said no to all of them.
I got to come back to either Iowa State or Texas.
Or Texas Tech? Or not?
Texas is a team that they're too inconsistent. I saw them lose three games in a row and play this bad offense.
Mm-hmm.
But Iowa State is a team that has the talent to do it, I think, mm-hmm. if they could get it all put together. I mean, Shayok's really good, and mm-hmm. some of those guys that were good last year probably aren't as good as you expected them to be this year.
Mm-hmm.
Texas is just too inconsistent, right? I think they're too young.
So you haven't picked anybody. Let me rephrase this to make it a little bit more interesting for people like gambling out there. I'm going to give you another option. I have a $500 bill. Once again, I don't.
Yeah.
I'll give you $500, and I'm giving you have one of two choices. I give you $500, and you have to bet it on Kansas, or I give you $100, and you have to bet it on somebody other than Kansas. Which one would you place?
I'd put the $5 on Kansas.
You would risk $500 yes. instead of $100 and put it all on Kansas.
Yes.
That answers all of our questions.
Exactly.
And that's why I wanted to put that together, because I hear people, and I saw on social media, Kansas is going to, the streak's going to end. Well, that's, once again, it's like, well, we're going to fire the manager. Great. Who are you going to get? Well, I'm tired of Andy Reid. Fine. Who are you going to get? Well, Kansas, I'm tired of them winning, and they're in second place right now, and they're just not very good. Great. You going to bet against them? And we just went through it. I'm not. You're not. You would actually bet $500 and put it all on Kansas than $100 on anybody else in the Big 12. Or take $500 and play the field versus Kansas, and you said, no thanks, I'll put it all. It's like in golf where you put it all on Tiger, although there's more than 10 options, obviously, so golf is probably not a smart thing, not a good comparison. But you're going to put all your money on one team or take the field, and Dusty, despite all the flaws Kansas has that I went through, Dusty still says Kansas, and I totally agree with him. Because nobody in the Big 12 is that good. KU has picked a perfect year not to be that good and probably keep the streak alive.
That's the thing.
Which is an indictment on the entire Big 12
exactly.
conference once again.
Listen, you can talk all you want about Fran Fraschilla if he wants to talk about the Big 12 being a good conference. This year, it's not even close to a fact. I mean, that's not – listen, you were talking about Baylor being down 30 to Wichita State, who's right now 8-11, and that game was early in the season.
It was early in the year.
But
it was in Wichita, I think.
Yeah, it was. Mm-hmm. But – you don't have to use a hypothetical with K-State. They just lost to a 7-10 team right now. Their last
but
game.
But that wasn't a conference game, Dusty.
And I don't care. It was a 7-10 team. Wichita State wasn't a conference game. That's what I'm saying. It's like they just lost a non-conference game to a 7-10 team right now.
Yeah.
Not earlier in the season, a team that was 7-10.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't even know what Tulsa's record is now. Yeah. They lost to Tulsa. They're probably not that good.
They
overall
sure didn't
record
look very good, and Kansas State lost.
Scored 46 points in that game. Okay, if you want to know if the Big 12 is good or not, you got one
Tulsa's
of the top
12-9.
Yeah, you're 12-9.
2-6.
2-6 in the American Athletic Conference,
which isn't very good.
No,
that's a bad loss.
Oh,
we knew it at the time.
And
so they've lost to at Tulsa
and
at A&M
2 years in a row.
They've lost at Tulsa and at A&M. A&M was their recent game, and you're going to pick K-State to win the Big 12.
Yeah, and that's a team that's in the lead in the conference right now, tied for the lead.
Yeah.
So if you think the Big 12 is good, then I can't help you.
I agree.
They're not.
Now, Aaron sent me a text. He's a K-State fan. He says, if I had to put my money on somebody other than Kansas, he'd pick Baylor. See, and we've fallen in this trap before. There's nobody you can trust in this conference.
I don't pick Baylor because of their
Scott
coach.
Drew. Right. But they are playing good right
they
now.
They are.
They won at West Virginia by 12. They beat Texas Tech at home by 11. They won at Oklahoma State. They came back and almost beat Kansas after they won. They've got really good wins in conference. They've won at home against Iowa State. They've already played KU at home. They beat Texas Tech at home. They won on the road at West Virginia. They beat Oklahoma by 30 on the road. They do have two road wins in conference already, but they do have a home loss, and that was to Kansas. So I still say if you're going to have any chance of winning the Big 12, you have to at least split with Kansas. If you get swept by Kansas, there's no way. So here's what they have coming up. They host TCU, which they should win. Well, let's go through these real quick. So Baylor's 5-2. Aaron says he put his money on Baylor. Well, let's play the game with their schedule. TCU at home. Win?
Probably should win, yeah.
6-2 at Texas.
I'm going to say that's a loss.
I will too. 6-3. They host K-State. They'll win.
Yeah.
They have the zone. 7-3. Now watch K-State win, which is fine. Oklahoma at home.
Probably win by 30 at Oklahoma. So
8-3 at Tech, I'll say loss.
Yeah.
8-4 at Iowa State, loss.
Yeah.
8-5 West Virginia at home, I'll say win.
Yeah.
9-5 Texas at home, 10-5 at K State. I could go either way.
They play well in Manhattan most of the time, but
okay. So let's say 11-5 Oklahoma State at home, 12-5 That would mean they'd be 12-5. And Kansas would be 11-6 in our equation,
yeah.
And Baylor would be at KU, and KU'd have to beat Baylor to get a share of the title. Are you going to pick Baylor to win at Kansas?
No.
Now, here's the thing. One thing that could allow you to win money in my equation is there's a 3- or 4-way tie for the top, and you win your money
because
you put money on Baylor to win a Big 12, and they did. They tied with K-State and Kansas and Texas Tech.
So you'd have a tie there,
I don't believe in Baylor.
The point is, we don't
believe in anybody.
Yeah, what we're talking about though is Baylor still has to win some kind of road game that KU would win. You know what I'm saying? Like they've got to win K-State, like we talked about.
Yeah.
Like if they get the K-State win, then they're 11-5 and going into the KU game.
Got to win at Tech or at Iowa State, or at
so
KU.
You've got to pick up one of those road wins that KU would normally get, and that's what I'm saying. Is like we both said. At Texas, at Iowa State, and just chalked them up. Those are losses for Baylor.
Yeah.
And so I think that's the way you're going to feel about most schedules when you look through those, is they're not going to win a key road game that they need to get.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Iowa State's a perfect example of that. They beat KU and then turned around and went to Baylor and lost.
Mm-hmm.
And then they lost at home to K-State that really hurt their cause even more. And so those are the games that KU's typically winning. They're not right now, but they did win at Baylor, who's in the lead in the Big 12 right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we could come at the end of this and say that win at Baylor was the key for KU to win the Big 12, even though it was their only road win up to this point the entire season, whether it's conference or not.
Mm-hmm.
But they're going to get some other road wins. But that Baylor win might be the one that helps them win the conference.
I'm gonna tell you, if I had to, I'm going to answer my own question. You dodged it for a long time. If I had to bet $100, if you gave me $100 of your money, I'd just go spend it. But if you Same. Did, I would bet, if I had to bet, on a team other than Kansas, my bet would be Iowa State.
Yeah, and that's where I was – that's the only one I could logically even think of.
So we played the schedule of Baylor. Baylor, we're saying 12-6. We're saying Kansas, you know, 12 no worse than 12-6. So what about Iowa State? Iowa State's 4-3. They have a home game against West Virginia. I'd say that's a win. Yeah. Texas at home, I'd say that's a win.
Yeah.
At Oklahoma, I would say that's a win, but that'd be so typical Cyclone-like to lose there.
Exactly.
That's 7-3. TCU at home, I got a win, 8-3. At K-State, let's say a loss.
Yeah.
8-4. Baylor at home, win, 9-4. At TCU, I'll say win, 10-4. Oklahoma home, 11-4. At Texas, I'll say loss, 11-5. At West Virginia, I'll say win, 12-5. And Texas Tech at home, that'd be 13-5.
So that'd be the one.
Iowa State's got a little bit more favorable schedule than Baylor. Because here's the thing.
I did all that and then came back and said it'd probably be Iowa State, that makes more sense now that you go through that.
I lean towards Iowa State over Baylor is because even though they're a game behind Baylor, is that they still let's see, have they played Baylor yet? They lost to Baylor at Baylor by 3. They still get Baylor to come to their house, and they're done with Kansas. Whereas Baylor still has to go to KU, to K-State, and to Iowa State.
Yeah.
Iowa State, done with Kansas. They already gone to Baylor. Their toughest road game the rest of the way. Look at Iowa State's road games right now. At Oklahoma, at K-State, at TCU, at Texas, at West Virginia. That's not that daunting.
No.
I mean, the toughest game is probably at K-State and maybe at Texas. So, and they're almost, I would say they're unbeatable at home, but they lost to K-State at home.
Yeah, 2 years in a row. I don't get it. But
they blow out Kansas. So.
Yeah.
there's no easy answer to this, but if I had to bet $100, I think I'd put on Iowa State. Texas Tech doesn't have enough offense.
No.
K-State doesn't have enough offense. Baylor probably is the best balanced team of them, but I just can't buy Scott Drew winning the Big 12.
That's the thing. It's like I
got to see it to believe it.
When it comes down to something very, very important for Baylor, I always come back to the coach.
Iowa State's not a horrible defensive team. They're better than they used to be. Better under Prohm instead of Hoiberg. Their offense, they're good offensively. They can shoot it. They can drive it. So I think I'd pick Iowa State. I'm eliminating Texas Tech. I think Texas, I don't think they got enough. And I would still bet like you. I'd probably bet the 500 on Kansas instead of 100 on Iowa State or anybody else. But I'd lean towards Iowa State. Aaron said, you know, this is the year that it's just gift wrap for somebody other than Kansas to win the Big 12.
It is.
And this is a team, the team that should win it should be the team with the most experience that's coming back. That would be K-State. This is the year K-State should win this thing. They got all the experience from an Elite Eight run, didn't lose anybody. Now they're healthy. They got Austin Trice to help them rebounding. They're better rebounding-wise this year than last year. They've really improved in that area. They're one of the best defensive teams in the country. But they're ranked 205th in offensive efficiency from 78th a year ago. How do you drop 130 spots in offensive efficiency with the same team back? That's amazing that they could be that bad offensively. And they pour 46 at Tulsa, who's not good. They score 53 at A&M, who's not good. I mean, I will say this. If K-State does get things figured out offensively, then I put my 100 on K-State.
Yeah,
but why would you believe that? They haven't done anything offensively all year long.
For 4 years.
Yeah, right.
Like, it's like, this isn't a new concept under Bruce Weber.
It's not like they're trying to put some freshmen into the equation here.
You know, if K-State could figure out how to beat a zone, then they're the Big 12 champions.
Yes, right. I agree.
I mean, book it. I mean, if they could figure out how to beat a zone and score against a zone, we wouldn't even be having this discussion with this team the way it's built right now.
Yeah, you know, you can explain the issues for Kansas and make a better excuse than K-State. You can make a better excuse for Kansas is they're starting three freshmen.
Yeah.
Whereas K-State, I mean, they've got juniors and seniors. They got guys that have played for a long time, and they're still struggling offensively worse than Kansas, and Kansas starts three freshmen. So if you sit here, and this is maybe unfair to Bruce Weber, but if you give Bill Self K-State's team, do you think K-State's that bad offensively if Bill Self's the head coach?
No.
I would say probably not. Would Bruce Weber have the same type of record with Kansas, with the Kansas players, if he was at Kansas instead of Self? I'd say maybe. Maybe right now. Possibly. Although I don't know if they would have beat Tennessee and Michigan State if Bruce Weber was their coach. Yeah. But I'm not saying that he wouldn't have either. But what we're saying, read between the lines, is Self's a better coach, which I don't think anybody's really argue with.
No.
That.
That's the thing that I come back to, too. Is
tiebreaker, go to the coach.
Those games, well, obviously the coach, but they've shown potential this year.
Yeah.
And I know that Doak was playing in some of those games earlier this year. But they've got wins over two top 10 teams right now.
Mm-hmm.
And K-State can't say that. No. I don't think anybody in the Big 12 can say that.
No.
But I understand that it's that the team's different now than it was then with injuries and things that have gone on. But I still come back to that where they've got some nice wins, and if they can write something and figure it out, this team's not dead.
No.
Like people wanted to try to tell me last year that I was crazy for picking KU to win the conference on mm-hmm. this show,
right.
Like 8 games or 9 games into the season when Tech had a 2-game lead on them.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, it's really just a 1-game lead because KU's already got a win over them. And whenever it was.
Actually, they didn't.
Or, no, they
Texas
didn't.
Tech beat
yeah,
KU.
Tech beat KU, yeah. No,
that's why people were thinking.
But yeah, but people thought, I mean, anyway, people thought.
Listen, if Keenan Evans doesn't get hurt last year, I don't know if the streak does stay.
Exactly, yeah. But, I mean, everybody's like, I'm crazy because there's 10 more games left in this, 9 more games left in the conference, and right. I'm still picking KU to win it. I got one of them snaps like when Tech was up a game still with like 12 games in or whatever it was yeah. last year. I don't know. I don't remember.
Kansas still had to go to Lubbock at the end of the year.
Yeah, and I was like, you know, if they win that game, then that cancels everything out.
Yes.
And they went and won the game and
right.
canceled it out.
Yeah.
And ended up winning the league. And it's like
won it by 2 games.
Sit here and call me crazy because I'm going with what's happened for 14 years in a row and now probably will be 15 is what we think. And it's just like. Count them out. It's like bet against us like the Patriots were saying or something like that.
I'll say this. The Big 12 championship isn't won in January.
Yeah.
But it can be lost in January.
Oh, yeah.
But where it really is won, and this is where Kansas is so good, when the games really are huge later in the season, Kansas finds a way to win close games, whether at home or on the road, and other teams tend to trip up in a game they shouldn't. It happened last year. West Virginia and Texas Tech both were better than anybody else in the Big 12 this year. Those two teams are better than Kansas this year so far.
Oh, yeah.
Those two teams were better. The Big 12 was better at the top last year. And KU wasn't super great last year, but they had senior leadership and they were able to shoot threes, and they did have Udoka the whole year. That helped. He got her, of course, this year. But West Virginia stumbled once or twice in the final 3 weeks. As did Texas Tech. Part of that, of course, was Keenan Evans getting hurt. And that's what typically happens. You can hang with Kansas for a while, but eventually Kansas just wears you down, you could say. By the end of the long 18-game conference schedule, can you put it together for 18 games? And nobody's been able to really do that over the last 14 years.
No.
So, and this year, I don't think it's any different because there is no great team in this conference. And that includes Kansas. They aren't great either.
So no.
What we're saying is same old, same old. They're going to get their 15th, despite the fact they shouldn't. I mean, Kansas, right now, the rankings, they'll probably be 15th or worse next week.
I know. That's what's crazy about it. It's like, how long, like,
which is your top-ranked team in the Big 12 would be, I talked about the American Athletic Conference, and I made fun of Wichita State a little bit. I'm like, dude, they're in a conference where they only have one ranked team out of 12, and that's Houston. The Big 12 probably have more than one ranked team, but the highest-ranked team will be lower than Houston next week.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Yeah. I mean, how long has it been since you looked at the rankings and Kansas hasn't been in the top 10 like 2 weeks in a row?
Been a while.
It's like, I don't know all the numbers on all that.
Probably when they lost 3 in a row
yeah.
back in 12, I would say.
Yeah.
It could be.
It's just weird to me. Even when they're not in the top 10 for 1 week, let alone next week, they're definitely not going to be in the top 10.
Yeah.
After another loss here on the road. So it's like, it's crazy to me.
Well, West Virginia's at Iowa State tonight, so if Iowa State loses that game, then I'll take my bet away.
Yeah.
But they should win tonight, but you never know in this conference. All right, NBA, we'll wrap it up with this. This is interesting. Your favorite head coach in the NBA, your favorite team, they won last night, 126-124, the Phoenix Suns. But listen to Greg Popovich talk about the Spurs' win over the Suns last night.
We were really fortunate to win the game. I thought that they outplayed us, out-coached us, out-physicaled us. Out-executed us. We had no respect for them or for the game. We didn't play with each other. It was a pathetic performance. And Phoenix got robbed.
Man, I wish I team would have no energy, no heart, disrespect the opponent, flat out stink, disrespect the game, and still win. Like, it's funny. He says all that, and it's really nice to say that about the Suns. But yet, it's like,
a backhanded slap in the face because the Suns still lost. That's what's funny to me about that whole quote. Suns outplayed us. They outcoached us, out-executed us. We didn't have a respect for the game. We didn't have respect for our opponent. We stunk. You still won. That's how bad the Suns are. The Suns did everything right and still lost.
Yeah. But as a Spurs fan, when
it's funny.
And as Pop, when you expect greatness out of your team, when they gave up that many points to the Suns, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I know exactly where he's coming from, basically, is what I'm trying to say.
Right.
It was insane. But Rudy Gay saved the day with a buzzer beater. And yeah, he's right. They robbed Phoenix of the game. But I agree with what you're coming from, too. As not a Spurs fan, just outside looking in.
Yeah, if you're a Suns fan, you're like, wow,
we were great, we still lost.
Yeah, so what are you trying to say? Gee, you guys are
24 points to a team that was 11-41 at the time.
Yeah, it's like imagine what the Spurs do to the Suns when they're focused and respect the game and the opponent. The Sixers beat the Lakers last night, 121-105. More on the Lakers in a moment. James Harden scored 37, but the Rockets lost. He continues his streak. I think it's like 24, 25 games in a row over 30 points. I've lost track. And the Thunder are moving on up in the standings. They won, I think, 6 in a row or 7 in a row. They win Orlando last night, 126-117. And the big talk now in the NBA, of course, is LeBron. When's he going to come back? Luke Walton, head coach of the Lakers, talks about that.
We're going to practice again. We'll do some full court scrimmaging again, see how he feels. And you know, no matter what happens tomorrow, the decision won't be made tomorrow. It'll be about how he feels later that night and into what he feels like the next day when he wakes up, more importantly. So not a final test, just another day of seeing if he's ready yet.
Okay, so you have about 31 games to go in the season. Golden State has a game and a half lead in the West over Denver. Oklahoma City now in the third position as they've won 6 in a row, and they beat the Bucks the other night. The Thunder are 4 games back at first. Portland is in the 4th spot. Houston is tied for the 5th spot with San Antonio. Utah is in the 7th spot, only a half game behind San Antonio and Houston. And the Clippers are in the 8th spot at 28-23. The Lakers are in the ninth spot, outside looking in at 26-25, but they're just 2 games out of the 8th spot. Now, I have bet a 6-pack with a couple of people that the Lakers were going to make it to the Western Conference Finals. And I had somebody tell me, well, they're not even going to make the playoffs. And I said, the bet hinges on LeBron being healthy. Do you think the Lakers would be in the ninth spot if LeBron played the last 2.5 weeks?
No.
They would be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I mean, you take away the greatest player in the world off a team, it's going to affect you. We've seen that every team that LeBron's played on. I mean, see the Cavs when he left the Cavs both times, okay? Cavs aren't very good without LeBron. And the Heat weren't very good without LeBron when he left there.
No.
So he's with the Lakers. He's missed considerable time with a groin injury. I think he's been out more than 2.5 weeks.
16 games.
16 games.
Is what it is, yeah.
Okay, so he's missed 16 games. And I don't know what the record is in the 16 games, but I'm sure LeBron's good for three or four wins.
About 500 or something.
I would guess LeBron's good for at least 2 or 3 wins there. And if you get those 2 or 3 wins, then you're in the playoffs. If LeBron comes back and is healthy and ready to go and he's the normal LeBron, I stand by my wager. I'll still take the Lakers. Now, I definitely want them
to
get...
They got to hop. They got to hop the 8, man.
Thank you. Yes. Yes. Now, if you tell me the 8 seed, they got to go play Golden State first round, now I'm just going to go ahead and pay up, probably.
Yeah.
All right, before the series starts. But if they get to the 7th spot, which right now they're only 3 games out.
Now you get, and then you got to make sure that Denver stays behind Golden State.
Well, that's, I mean, well, that's
like
true.
If Denver ends up ahead of Golden State, then you want the 8.
Well, that's true. To be totally safe.
I don't think that they are. I think Golden State is going to hold on here, this one spot.
Well, the Lakers are only 3.5 out of the 6th spot.
Yeah.
So, you know, then wouldn't that be something? Lakers against Oklahoma City in the first round? I'd pay to see that. LeBron versus Westbrook and Paul George? That would be fun. But, yeah, I agree with you. I think Golden State's going to get the 1.
Yeah.
As long as they stay healthy. Denver is a good team, but they're probably going to be the 2 or the 3. And I could see them have a losing streak at some point, although they've been very good. 22-4 at home, the Nuggets are.
Yeah.
They're an underrated team with a very talented star in Jokic. But... the Lakers, as long as they can get over that 8 spot and get to 7, if you take the Lakers versus Denver and you got LeBron versus the Nuggets, who are you picking?
Lakers.
There you go. Then I've got the Lakers in the Western Conference semis, and they would avoid Golden State, and then the Lakers are going to have to play
Oklahoma City,
Portland, or Houston,
yeah,
or maybe San Antonio, which I know you'll pick the Spurs in that one. But I'll take LeBron against anybody in the West in a best-of-7 series except Golden State.
Yeah.
So just avoid Golden State. I still like my wager. Avoid Golden State in the first round. We're in the second round, too. Just avoid Golden State till the Western Conference Finals. And if you're a 7 or a 6 seed, you'll do that. And LeBron's healthy. I still feel good about my wager, even though the Lakers are out of the playoffs right now.
Yeah. I think there's only two teams that I think could hang with the Lakers outside of the Warriors. And I think that'd be the Rockets and Spurs. Like, I wouldn't be concerned about...
I think the Spurs and the Thunder.
Yeah, the Thunder could too, yeah.
Yeah, well, I would say Thunder, Spurs, and Rockets. I would agree with that. Because
the Rockets just have that X factor with Harden. You just you can't 100% just count against them.
Right, yeah, and they'll get Capella back.
But again, they're not a great defensive team.
Right.
But the Spurs aren't a good defensive team at all this year.
Well, they gave 124 last night, like you said.
They're not good on defense. I miss the days when they played defense, but that's the NBA right now. It's all these scores are a lot higher than they typically have.
Which is good. I like it. I don't like it. Back in the day, it was 88-82. It's just, that's not great basketball.
No.
I'm okay with offense. Now, when you allow them to travel all the time, now that's just ridiculous. I get tired of it.
And I think the lax rules are a little bit a part of how much they're scoring.
It's like the NFL, you allow the offense to get away with a lot of stuff. By the way, speaking of that, we'll end here with this one. So somebody posted a picture on Twitter of D. Ford lining up offsides in the Pro Bowl. And we know the background. D. Ford lined up offsides in neutral zone, cost the Chiefs perhaps a chance at the Super Bowl, which I still think is a little bit unfair. But, you know, technically you could argue that since the Chiefs had an interception on the play. And they might have been able to run out the clock. We don't know that for sure because the Patriots had 3 timeouts. We've been through that conversation. But this is how people can totally misrepresent a situation. This is why you can't believe everything you see on Twitter or on Facebook, or even hear on the news, or watch on the news. And that is getting a four-word quote from somebody that's out of context, or a still shot that's out of context. So somebody posted on social media and Twitter, D. Ford hasn't learned his lesson. And they show a picture of D. Ford in the Pro Bowl, lined up in the neutral zone. What they failed to mention was that if that was a video, D. Ford actually moved back, noticed he was offsides, moved back, and there was no penalty marker, so you should have put on Twitter, D. Ford's learned his lesson. Instead, they put it on there like D. Ford's a dummy and that he's doing the same thing. No, he actually lined up offsides, which you can do in the neutral zone, and then you can back up before the ball snaps. And that's what he did. Totally misleading to the public. But here's the thing I want to add. We were talking about rules that help the NBA score a whole bunch of points, the lax rules on traveling, everything else. There's also the lax rules in the NFL. We talk about how there's pass interference. Offensive player, defensive player go up for a ball. They each shove each other. Who are they going to call it on?
Defense.
It's always the defense. Yeah. It's never on the offense. The offense gets away with a lot of different things. I should show you the still shot. So everybody's talking about D. Ford being offsides against the Patriots. But if you look at that Patriot game, the left tackle isn't on the line of scrimmage.
No, he's not. They were talking about that.
Yeah.
Somebody was after the game. They're like, that guy doesn't line up on the line all the time, so it could throw off the guy on the other side.
My point is not throwing the other guy off. It's that he's lined up offside as well.
He's
it should be offsetting penalties.
Yeah.
Because there are times every once in a blue moon where you see that call. Eric Fisher's done that once before. He's been off the line of scrimmage trying to defend the pass rush on the edge, and they call him offsides. They call it illegal formation because he wasn't on the line of scrimmage. So you see the Pro Bowl, right? And you know how a geese fly in a flock up in the sky? They have a V?
Yeah.
That was the offensive line against the AFC. So D. Ford, this snapshot shows D. Ford lined up in the neutral zone. 4 offensive linemen are offsides because there's the center on the line of scrimmage. The right guard, left guard are a half step off the line. The right tackle and the left tackle are like 3 yards away from the defensive ends. They're lined up almost in the backfield. That is a penalty.
Yeah.
And the NFL's let that go so much because what? One, they want to protect quarterbacks so they don't get killed, especially your franchise guys, which I appreciate since I'm a Chiefs fan and we have Patrick Mahomes now. Yeah. So I guess I'm not going to argue about the rule too much. But the fact is they're going to bust a guy for the neutral zone, but they're not going to bust a guy lining completely in the backfield, a left tackle, right tackle, not even on a line of scrimmage, which is an illegal formation.
Yeah.
To me, you got to be consistent because D. Ford's trying to get every single edge he can because that tackle is already lined up, ready to take on his speed rush. So he's got to gain any advantage he can. So if he can get away with lining up in the neutral zone, which he's done times before and it hasn't been called.
Yeah.
But the offensive lineman can just sit there with almost his whole body completely behind the line of scrimmage. That's an example of the NFL having rules that aren't enforced, just like the NBA, to help your offense. Because if you allow that,
That allows you to protect against a pass rusher off the edge, like a Justin Houston, a D Ford, a Von Miller, and thus your quarterback doesn't hit the deck, gets a dislocated shoulder, a broken hand, broken fist, whatever it may be, fingers, and they keep playing, which helps the NFL's ratings and more points. Because anybody want to watch Brian Hoyer versus Chad Henne? No! So another example of how the rules in sports favor the offense.
Yeah. And that's getting worse at every level.
I think.
That whole offensive line kind of forming a V by the end of
it
the
It is. It's a goose
situation.
Formation. Yeah.
Yeah, it's and that's not.
And then we scream at D4 for being off.
That's not just the Pro
stars.
Bowl thing.
Oh, know, I know.
Where you see that.
Yeah, well, or happened in the Patriots Chiefs game.
Exactly. It's going. I'm seeing that in college.
Yes.
Games I go to, you know, when you're up that high and can see the whole field.
Yeah.
When you're at the press box here at K-State and you can see those formations aren't. You have to have seven on the line. Yeah, they're not. There's not seven on the line there.
No, never. Not so. But they don't enforce it. Just like they don't enforce traveling on James Harden and a lot of NBA players.
Yeah.
Also, LeBron gets away with a lot of them. Kawhi Leonard gets away. I saw a few of his the other night. All the stars get away with travels, and some of the pedestrian players get away with travels. And then you hardly ever see a travel. When I see a travel in an NBA game, I like start screaming. Oh my Lord!
Oh, I
it
know.
Is a rule.
Yeah, like I went,
who knew?
When I went to the game in Memphis, the playoff game I went to,
you're shocked.
Tony Parker got called for one of them head fake ones, you know, where his foot comes halfway off the ground, you know, and I was like, oh, but you're gonna let Mark Gasol run three steps across the lane from the 3-point line all the way to the block and lay it in,
right?
But you're gonna call a jump travel on Tony Parker? Like, it doesn't make sense. Like, I'm just like, what are you calling that one for when this one was way more obvious? Like,
and then they don't. They also don't. If you ever see a official in an NBA game call a carry, I'll have a heart attack. I'm like, oh my goodness, they carry the ball so much, and so then you got younger kids like my son who's seventh grade watching them play, and then he tries to work on some of these moves. But then if he does it when he's in high school, he's probably gonna be called for traveling.
Yeah. Euro step's going to be a travel and all this. My nephew's gotten called for travel on a Euro step before. You know,
right.
And it's like,
which that's a legal play.
Yeah. And it's like, that's not a travel. That's a pretty big step.
Right.
But it's not a travel.
Exactly.
I mean, it's like, yeah. And, well, like you said, the kids are watching that too.
Sure.
And the way they're dribbling too.
Yeah.
And they're probably going to get called for carries in games.
Yeah.
But then there's some games they won't get called for and some games they will. And it's just, how far do you let it go before it's just like, you're doing the same thing the NBA is doing. And
there were three carrying violations in the boys' game last night, two on Vinny Paulin, and I could probably assure you he's done that almost all year long.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
And I was
these
like,
kids don't change
and he's
what
perplexed.
They're doing.
He looked, and he's perplexed, like, what? And I was a little perplexed as well. But, you know, every crew has their own set of rules, it seems like. That's the thing. Or different set of rules they want to enforce, I should say. Yeah. But, hey, it's all about offense, baby. All about offense. So let's make it clear, in summary of the show, Dusty will bet a $500 on KU instead of $100 on anybody else. And he'll take KU versus the field and willing to risk $500 instead of losing just $100 by taking the field. That's all you need to know. KU, until they're completely, you know, buried, you can't rule them out to win another Big 12 title, especially with the, what's the word I'm looking for, mediocrity of the Big 12 right now.